Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be looking at little verses this morning, little verses. You mean short verses? No, I mean verses that contain the word little. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Lord, as we take the word of God and we study, Lord, kind of a unique word study. But Lord, as we see in the Bible where you emphasize, dear Lord, the little things and, Lord, the importance of little things. And I pray, dear God, that as we study it today, you'll help us to make a big deal out of little things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to dedicate this Sunday's two sermons. That would be Sunday morning and Sunday night tonight to a common theme. Today we're going to be reminded of the importance of little things. God has a lot to say about the little, a lot to say about the little. The word little is found 242 times in our King James Holy Bible, and I believe we can learn some big things from the little things in life. You know, the longer I live, I think the more I become aware of the importance of little things, of little things. What makes a man a great man? Is it a few noted accomplishments or a few outstanding attributes? No, I don't believe it is. I've learned that true greatness is often found in the little things he does and the little things he says. What makes an amazing wife and mother? Is it a single quality or a single momentous moment? No, it is a lifetime. Think about it. It's a lifetime of day by day, little sacrifices, little sentences, and little service. What makes a great church? Is it a single big event or a record-setting Sunday attendance? No, no. It is, I believe, hundreds of Sundays, think about this, filled with thousands of acts of goodness and giving and gentleness and godliness. What makes a great preacher? Is it a worldwide famous sermon or a mountaintop moment of public recognition? I don't believe so. I think it's hundreds of hospital visits and handshakes and late-night prayers and quiet tears and tireless toiling in the Word of God in His study. What makes a great Christian? Is it one generous financial gift or one great soul-winning story? I don't believe so. I think it's 1,000 little acts of consistent obedience to God, baptized in patience and kindness and self-sacrifice. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The older I get, the more I have an appreciation for the little things. The little things. So this morning, I'm going to preach on this subject, little verses. And Brother Klein, tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to preach on this subject, more little verses, all right? So easy for y'all to remember the two titles. We're going to spend our time looking at Bible verses and Bible stories that contain the word little. And I think from these verses, I hope that we'll all be reminded of some really, really big truths. God makes a big deal, number one, about the little ones among us, the little ones or the little children among us. 40 times the Bible speaks of little ones. 30 times the Bible mentions a little child or little children. God has a lot to say about those of us, that little crowd of people among us that it's easy for us to overlook. You know what? When we read the scriptures this morning, somebody asked and said, you know, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I think everybody in the auditorium got on the edge of their chair and were expecting Jesus to call their name. and bring them to the front as an example. Sorry, senior saints, he didn't call our number on that one. Sorry about that. Sorry, adults. No, not you. Sorry, young adults. Come on, teenagers. I hate to even throw the teenagers in on this, but sorry. You know what Jesus did? He went and got, the Bible says, a little child, a little one among them. And he said and reminded us that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is children. It's good for us to hear that this morning, folks. We are so blessed. Every single Sunday, I sit there in the foyer and we unload the buses here at the back so all the kids are unloaded in the basement, and then they come flying up the stairs and into the auditorium. And I just watched wave after wave of children coming into our church. Thank you, bus workers. Thank you, bus drivers. If we don't have bus drivers, we don't have a bus ministry. Thank you, children's church workers and primary church workers and the great army of people that are here ready to do something with the kids when they arrive. I'm thankful for the ones that bring them, but I'm also thankful for the ones that handle them while they're here. And you know what? We make a big deal at Blessed Hope Baptist Church about children. You know what? Because God thinks they're a big deal. That's why. If you're going to adopt a Christian view of children, then you know what? At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, what we need to do is we need to make sure that ministering to children is one of our top priorities. A lot of people talk about investing in the next generation. But you know what? I go to a lot of ministries and I look around and think, well, you can talk the talk, but you know what? I always say, follow the money. Amen. And a lot of our resources go into reaching and discipling and winning and training the next generation. And so kids are a big deal. I'm with our you children, you young people that are in here. I know most of them are in primary church and children's church, but I want them to know that when Jesus was asked who was greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he didn't come get the preacher. He got one of you little guys. And he said, you know what, this young man, this young lady, that's the big deal here. Parents, if we're going to adopt a Christian view of children, come on then. You need to be reminded this morning from time to time that they ought to be one of the greatest priorities of your life. Come on, Dad, it's easy. I get it. You got to work. Hey, kids, they have to work, okay? They can't be there all the time. They've got duties they have to do. But they're doing that for you, to put food on the table and a roof over your head. But dads, we got to be careful, especially in those little child years, that a hobby doesn't become more important than the children. Come on, Mom, your TV shows and your FaceTime, Facebook time should not trump the time you need to be spending with your children. One of the greatest pieces of advice I can give parents is this: do not let serving the Lord even separate you from your children. I'm not talking about stop serving the Lord. I'm saying this: why don't you include your children as much as you can in all that you do for the Lord? I think we've set up ministries here that allow families to serve together. You know, almost every one of our bus routes, you know what, has been taken on as a family project. A mom and a dad and children, teenagers in that family working together on a bus route. I love it when families take on nursing home ministries, and we have more nursing homes that we're slowly, you know, getting back into the nursing homes after the COVID event. We used to be in 7 at one time. We're back into about 3 of them. We've got more nursing homes that we can minister in. Some of you that say, I'd like to have an opportunity to serve God as a family together. Well, you know what? Go see Brother Joe, amen? And you know what? He can hook you up with an opportunity to be a blessing in a nursing home, but serving God together as a family. We're encouraging more of this, but we're getting to see more in the church families singing together and siblings singing together. And you know what? I think it's great to be able to serve the Lord together. And I think this, I contend that families can and should serve the Lord together in the local assembly. How about Malachi chapter 4, the closing verses of the Old Testament? Last two verses you'll read. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And parents, again, let me just kind of warn you. I think so many young people get off track and sometimes leave the will of God because God takes the heart of a father and turns it away from the children. And if you do that, sir, I will tell you this, the heart of your children will be turned away from the father. And what does God say? What do we need a revival in America? Come on, dads, I'm not letting you off the hook. You know what? You need to be involved in the life of your children. You need to be a part in the raising of your children. You need to be a part in the discipline of your children. And your heart needs to be turned back to your children. I see parents sometimes and dads and moms just kind of almost treat children like they're a bother. No, they're not a bother. They're a blessing. And so let's be careful of that. Christ views, in this portion of Scripture, we see that Christ views every kindness. Come on, let's talk to everybody now. Towards a little child as a kindness shown to himself. Now think about that. Look at verse 5. And whoso receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Wow. And so you know what? When I stop and take a minute and smile and make a kid feel welcome at Blessed Old Baptist Church, Jesus said, well, you just did that to me. If I take a moment, get down on one of my knees, say it's good sometimes for us parents and us adults to get down on their level. Now, some of us, we got to be careful because we can't get back up, you know, but it's good to get down on their level sometimes and look them in the eye and listen to their story about their pet dog and what happened. And if you took time for them, you just took time for Jesus. Those of you that bring little snacks for the kids, and we've got ladies every week that's on a list that sign up that make homemade cookies and homemade brownies, and they bring them, and they supply the entire bus ministry to these kids. Hey, you just made that for Jesus. What are you doing, preacher? I'm taking a little thing and getting it in our eyes and putting it up as a big thing, because Jesus says the big things is really the little things. In the Bible, every person who invests in children each and every week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I believe Christ put that on your account as a personal kindness shown to him. You know, somebody might just say, well, you know, we get old and grumpy. I don't like children. Well, let me say this. You've got a problem. Okay. You didn't get that mindset from the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard one person say this one time, well, I hate kids. I mean, I heard him say, I hate kids. You know what I said to them? I said, well, congratulations, you and the devil have something in common, amen? Because the devil hates kids also. Why don't you get a Christ mindset? Jesus Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He didn't look at them as a bother. He looked at them as a blessing. He counted it a privilege and an honor to spend time with children. And he reminded us that children can be saved. Come on, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And can end up going to heaven one of these days. But somebody's got to go get them. And somebody's got to love them and tell them about Jesus. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. But I will say this. This is part of the text here, but if you look in verse number 6, it says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. By the way, that's not a mean, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher preaching. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. I believe that some of the crimes that are being committed against children around the world and even now in the United States of America is criminal. I believe a sexually abusing a child ought to be a death penalty sentence on it. You want to stop this nonsense? A death penalty sentence on it. You say, where do you get that? From Jesus Christ. He said, take him out on a boat, get a short rope and a large millstone. It was better for that to happen than you hurt one of these little ones. And what we need to do is we need to get back as parents in the United States of America, protecting our children and loving our children and appreciating our children and treating them as valuable. And we've got a whole country full of perverts that have targeted the children, are trying to get access to the children and trying to corrupt the minds of our children. And I don't understand parents just standing by the wayside, shrugging their shoulders and acting like they can't do anything about it. God gave you those children. He didn't give them to the school teacher. He didn't give them to the school board. He didn't give them to the government. They're not wards of the state. Amen. They belong to you. Amen. And every single one of us need to stand up against this nonsense and this wickedness, this transgender, this woke philosophy. I mean, we need to stand up against it, folks, and blow the trumpet and say, you know what, it's a better for a millstone to be put around your neck. And you corrupt the morals of these little children. And so I just wanted to say that, amen. You know what? I believe in millstone justice, amen. Because Jesus believed in millstone justice, amen. You know, you can hang them down on the county square and I'd be fine. I'll attend it. I'll pull the lever, amen. Sleep well that night. Come on now. Leave the children alone. These children are precious. These children are innocent. These children are gifts of God. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're going to build strong protection around our children. Okay, so if you've got a problem in that area of your life, I'm putting you on notice. Don't you mess with a kid at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Okay, you know, I won't counsel you and quietly try to deal with it. I'll call the sheriff and have you arrested. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. You don't mess with the kids. Blessed Oak Baptist Church, all right? Amen. I hate to say that, but every once in a while in this today's society, a preacher just needs to get up, look everybody in the eyeball and say, listen, if you got a problem or an issue in that part of your life, you know what? You've come to the wrong place. You're not messing with the kids at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Amen. So we're talking about little things. God makes a big deal about the little ones among us. And then God in the Bible gives us big warning about the danger of little sins in our life. I found a whole lot of verses. Let's just be helped this morning. Solomon warns us that it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. Come on, Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So little foxes spoil the vines. Come on, a fly is a little thing, but it can spoil the ointment. Say, what is it talking about here, folks? Is it teaching us about protecting the grapes on the vine or putting a lid on the ointment? No, there's a deeper truth here. 1 Corinthians 5:6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And one of the things I want to blow the trumpet on this morning is to say this. Folks, listen to me. Don't make excuses for little sins in your life. The little things that creep into our life. Next thing you know, we're kind of making excuses in our mind. Well, it's not that big of a deal. Hey, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Almost every horrific sin that's committed, you can trace it back to its very beginnings. It started as a little thought or little habit of life. So be careful about that. You know, think about the little sins that's warned about. How about this? The little sin of laziness. Come on, young people, be careful about this. It don't creep into your life. Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. Listen, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, folks, laziness is a sin. We're warned in the book of Proverbs against becoming a sluggard, against the sin of slothfulness. And the Bible says this, you know what? He's not talking about somebody that just won't go to work at all or sleeps 24 hours a day. He's saying, hey, you know what you better look out for in your life? Just a little slumber. Come on, a little sleep. A little folding of the hands. I got to thinking about this, so I got my calculator out. You know, the one on my phone that my teacher told me I would never have available to me, and I wouldn't have access to a calculator and have it all my day, so I needed to do my math. Okay, I just think I caused a problem, amen? But if you slept 1 hour of sleep more than you really need, now think about this, Americans, come on. The Bible talks about redeeming the time. God gave us a life. And I'm all for everybody getting proper sleep. And that definition of proper sleep, it varies depending on everybody's health and their situation. I understand that. But you know what? If we just sleep a little too much, 1 hour of sleep more than we really need, you know, over 70 years, that's 25,550 hours of our life that we wasted because we just slept really more an hour more a day than we needed to. By the way, that's 1,064 days of our life that was wasted. That's just shy, if you figured up, of 3 years. It's 2.91 years. And that's why God says, hey, you know, be careful about this. Redeem the time. Life is precious. God gives us an opportunity to have a life. And you're going to have to determine, you know, your health and your situation. Like I said, it's not one size fits all. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can just become a little lazy. And next thing you know, we're wasting what God has given us to do. Hey, Christians, come on. Let's go to bed at a decent hour. Let's set our alarm clocks for a decent time. And let's get up and redeem the time, for the days are evil. You know, night cometh when no man can work. Let's not waste our lives. What's it talking about here? Just a little laziness. That's what God warns us about. How about James chapter 3, verse 5, where he talks about a little member of our body. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A little fire kindleth. And again, you know what? Maybe we use our tongue correctly 90% of the time and 95% of the time. But you know what? The Bible says even if you allow that tongue, come on, it's a little member, but it can kindle a great fire. It's a little member, but it can start a little fire that grows into a big fire. Let's be careful about how we speak and what we say to each other. And this is good admonition for the churches, and this is good for all of us. You know, the tongue is a strange thing. If you go back to James chapter 3, I won't teach all of it. But you know, the Bible says it's capable of great good and it's capable of great evil. You know, I thought about that where it says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And it's talking about this matter of the tongue and what you can say. Some of you have been in situations where you started what you thought was going to be a little fire, and next thing you know, it's out of control. Remember, my brother David bought a piece of property years ago over on the other side of Worthington, and I went over there, and he was showing me the place, and he said, hey, you know what? This entire field's all grown over, and he said, you know what? I said, man, what we need to do is just burn the field off. And he said, can we do that? Oh, yeah, I've done it at my place lots of times. I said, so, you know, here we weren't even planning to do this. The next thing you know, we're out there and I'm just trying to figure out which way the wind's blowing and how we can control this fire. And we're going to burn off this field. And so we started this little fire, folks, a little fire. I wish I could go back to that moment where I started just the little fire. Amen. And all of a sudden, it started taking off. And, you know, that you get into those dry weeds. It was that time of year. It was, you know, fall and everything was dead. And all of a sudden, it's going a little quicker than I think. And I'm like, all right, it's not too bad. We still got it under control. And all of a sudden, a little wind started picking up. And next thing you know, I'm running to the barn and we're getting gunny sacks and we're dipping them in water and we're running out there and we're trying to put out as it's going this direction and that direction. And he's running. And he bought this farm around a bunch of folks over there, the Mennonites. And you know what? They saw the smoke. And all of a sudden, we've got all these black-haired people come running over there. And they're trying to beat the fire out with us. Why? They cared about us? No, they were afraid we were going to burn their barn down and their field down. And it was going over towards one of the buildings that was on his property. And I ran ahead of it. And I'm trying to keep it from burning. You know where all that started? Come on, with just one little match. Just one little strike. And next thing you know, we've got a situation that's out of control. You know how many times at Blessed Old Baptist Church over the years, the pastor of this church has had to try to fix a fire that's out of control over one thing that one person said that they should not have said. So why don't we be careful in what we say and what we do? Let's be careful, folks, because you know what? It may seem like a little sin. It may not be laziness with you. It may not be the tongue and gossip with you, but look right up here. Let's just not leave this point without letting the Holy Spirit speak to all of us. You know what? What is the Holy Spirit bringing to your heart, your mind, as I'm talking about this? Well, what little sin, habitual sin, have you let creep into your life and you've been making excuses for? And you know, you're always going to give it up, but you never do. Or maybe you've come to an altar and you got victory for a while, but you're back into it. Listen, you know what? Don't underestimate the damage that can be caused by that little sin. And you know what? Why not just take this Sunday morning and get it right? Hey, you know what I think every good Bible preaching church ought to be? I think it ought to be the getting right place. Amen. And we won't change the name of the church. But you know what? I think every church ought to be the getting right place. And one of the reasons that I need to be in church, come on, and I need to come to church is, you know what? It's a job keeping this guy right. Come on now. You can say amen or oh me, but it's a job just keeping me right. That's why I don't understand people that think it's their full-time job trying to keep everybody else right. I'm thinking, how do they have time? I'm just spending all my time trying to keep me right. And hey, if the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart right now, that's a good thing. Hey, conviction is a good thing. It's not God trying to hurt you. It's God trying to help you. He loves you enough to care about you enough to come right now into your heart and point out a sin and say, hey, you know what? This is going to hurt you, and this is going to hurt other people. It's getting right time. Come on. We're talking about little things, little things. Number three, God says there are big rewards attached to faithfulness in the little duties of life. Let me have you go to Luke chapter 19. We're there in the New Testament. Luke chapter number 19. Jesus teaches a parable here. And boy, you talk about a great truth, a great big truth. from a verse that contains the word little. In Luke chapter 19, if you'll look in verse number 12, Luke 19, verse number 12, we begin to read this parable, Luke 19, 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him. Let's stop a minute. What are these servants? Who are these servants? They're the ones he met with before he left. Who are these servants? He gave every one of them 10 pounds. Okay? And he wanted them to be good stewards and invest it well and be faithful and use it. So let's continue to read. To whom he had given the money. Okay? So then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, now look at this. This is amazing to me. Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, good servant, because thou hast been faithful. Look at this. Because thou hast been faithful. What's the next phrase? In a very little, thou hast authority over what? 10 cities. Now it goes on down, and somebody else took their 1 pound. I think he took 10. I believe this was 10 servants, and he had 10 pounds. It sounded like he gave each one one, and the one that had the first one that was called said, I took the one and I turned it into 10. And he said, good job. Now that'd be like me, you know, calling up 10 of these boys and, you know, giving them all a $5 bill, you know. And say, listen, this is my money. It's not your money. And I want you to go out there and invest it. And I want you to come back. And I want you to be faithful in this and diligent in this and wise in this. And I want you to bring back what you're able to do with that $5. And so, you know what? One of these guys come back. And instead of having $5, they've got 10 times that much. They got $50. And they said, hey, preacher, you gave me $5. Here's $50 back. Now, folks, that's like a $5 bill. I trusted him with a $5 bill. And he came back with $50, and all of a sudden, I look at him and say, you not only are mayor now of Jasonville, but you're mayor of Linton, you're mayor of Vicksburg. Now, don't try to get out of it. Vicksburg needs a mayor. It's Don Mowry right now, but he hasn't been doing a good job over there. So Vicksburg and Midland and Duggar, and I name off 10 cities, and he's looking at me like, what? You know what God's telling us there? Hey, it's a big deal to him when he gives you an opportunity to do something little. And I think too many of us, this will help us, folks. Well, pastor gave me a job, but it's just a little job. Well, you know what? If you're faithful in a little job, you might be surprised what God is willing to trust you with. Now think about that. Young people, I want you to think about this. There's 4 great success principles that I taught for years out of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And the first word I take is the first word in that verse, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. And I teach our young people, there are no small jobs. If you'll learn this in life, you know what? God will trust you with some amazing things and give you with some great opportunities. But you have to treat the little opportunities like they're a big deal. Well, it's just a little job. Well, God gives us little jobs to see whether or not we can be trusted with big jobs. And here I would have invested in these young men and gave them $5 and gave them an opportunity and then rewarded them with the oversight of 10 cities. And I think God thinks the little things, the little jobs are important. Whatsoever thy hand, hey, mind your own business. Thy hand, look at what's in your hand. Man, if the average Christian took all the time they spent looking at what's in everybody's hand and deciding what they would do if they had their job or their position, if they took all of that time and energy and just put it on their responsibilities, they could be a success in life. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, stay busy on purpose. Findeth to do. Well, you know, I'm sitting here at the church and there's just nothing to do. Well, then find something to do. I'm just waiting for a pastor to find something to do. Find something to do. By the way, you know, I list all kinds of opportunities around here that everybody can be involved in, and then you don't want to be involved in the little things. Okay, you know, hey, we've got Bible college students, just went to Bible college. We put things in bulletins so you know where to send stuff to them and encourage them. I gave you a challenge. I gave you a job. Did you do anything with it? If you didn't, why should God trust you with anything else? Hey, we have a missionary every week in the bulletin. Well, you know what? People don't want jobs. They want titles. Come on, do you want a job or do you want a title? The greatest title that's available, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the title of servant. Yeah, I'm helping you in life. Hey, preacher, why are you pastoring Blessed Old Baptist Church? By the mercy and grace of God. Let me just say that. But I think God, Paul said, he counted me faithful putting me into the ministry. And I think a lot of times I look back at the little opportunities, the little things that God allowed me, gave me a chance to do as a teenager, the little things he allowed me to have an opportunity to do as a Bible college student that nobody saw, never was in the spotlight. But you know what? If I got a job and I was assigned a job, I don't care if it was sweeping a bus, that bus was going to be the cleanest bus in the United States of America. If you'll do the little things well, you know what? God will give you great opportunity. Seems like everybody wants great opportunity, but they despise the little things. They undervalue the little things. And that's why, as a preacher, you know what? I look around and I appreciate so much the people that take care of the little things here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Because little things are big things. And it's 100 little things that happen that nobody sees every Sunday that makes this church and allows this church to see the blessings that we are seeing right now. So those of you that are behind the scenes, your name never gets called, come on, and nobody ever sees it. And sometimes you don't feel appreciated. You just remember this, God always sees those things and God always rewards those things. Think about that. Children, what little job, think about this, has your parents assigned you to do at home? I'm talking about elementary, fifth and sixth graders right now. What is your chores at home? What are the little things? Did you make your bed when you got up this morning? Did you pick up your laundry off the floor? Or is it laying there and here you are, fifth and sixth grade, and mommy's still supposed to come around and pick up after you? You know, right now God's looking down and deciding whether or not he can trust you with the big opportunities of life. You know, no, I'm not just saying this so I can help some mom and dads out. I'm saying this because I'm trying to help you out. Okay, you get done with your plate at the table. You just go rushing off, or do you go over there and scrape what's left over in the trash, take it over and clean it off in the sink a little bit and stack it wherever mama says to stack it. All right, listen, it's the little things. I'm telling you, it's the little things that God's looking for, the little jobs that God's looking for. You know, when you mow the grass, do you have a good attitude about it? Do you do a good job? Come on, do you take the time to do the trimming? You take the time to sweep off the step? When you put the mower back, have you taken that broom and cleaned the mower off and put it back the same way you got it? You say, what's the big deal about that, preacher? Because God is right now deciding what he can trust you with in the future. So children, please listen to me. Little jobs your parents have assigned you to do at home. Your attitude about doing those jobs, how you do those jobs, it's a big deal because you're building your divine eternal resume for the Lord to look at later and decide whether or not he can trust you with big things. All right, we got on the kids. Come on, how about we're in school now. Students, what little job awaits you this week as you do your schoolwork? Are you rushing through it? Are you doing sloppy work? Come on, you just want to get it done? You're just guessing at answers so you can go up to the score table and see what the real answer is because, you know, you're smarter than the system. Don't you understand God is watching you? You right now are telling God whether or not you can be trusted with big things in life. Come on, are you reading carefully, reading for comprehension, and looking for the answers yourself? Come on, are you accomplishing? Can you at the end of the day put all your stuff in your desk and shut the door and walk away feeling good about how you performed that day in the eyes of the Lord? I'm talking about the little things. All right, let's talk about us adults. Men, what little task have you been assigned at work to accomplish for your boss? Come on, are you the master of the shortcut? Smarter than the boss? Well, I know they said it, do it this way, but you know what? I think I want to do it this way. Come on. Your name should be Ford because you always have a better idea. I mean, I'm telling you, this may not seem like a big deal, but when you go to work, you know what? Your testimony is tied to your performance. Your ability to influence other men at work are going to be tied to whether or not they have a respect for how you conduct yourself. Watch this. In the little things. In the little things. So we need to get back to this. Ladies, what little chore are you neglecting as the keeper of your home? Say, preacher, this is a little tough. Well, we need to be challenged a bit. You know, come on, do you keep a sloppy home? You just, you know, come on, you gotten lazy? You got every excuse in the world. You're just that constant little flower that's overwhelmed over everything. Right. Well, how can God trust you with anything more? Amen. Come on, set the alarm. Get up out of bed. You've got children to raise. Come on, put your big girl culottes on. Amen. Grow up a little bit. Stop looking down the road for someone to come save you. Okay? This is what God's called you to. This is what God's given you. This is the most important thing in your life. Those precious little babies we just talked about. There's nothing more important than that. Man, keep a good home. You know, I mean, keep it clean. My wife, we were having all the family over yesterday morning, or for my birthday yesterday about noon. All the kids and grandkids were coming up. And you know, I watched this woman go into like, you know, nuclear mode, cleaning mode. And it's like, you just need to get out of the way or you're going to get sucked up by a sweeper. You're going to get hit by a mop. I mean, you know, if I sit in one place, I'm dusted. She's dusting me, okay? And, you know, I can't move fast enough to get out of her way. And then I'm going to help her. You know, guys are great at this, okay? So I go around, I'm trying to straighten this up, straighten that up. And then I notice later on, she's changed everything that I tried to do. So I don't know. I think the best thing to do is go out in the yard and find something to do, amen? Just get out of her way because... You know, hey, I suppose if she can do this at her age, which is none of your business, then I suppose some of you young gals that are about half this age and should have three times the energy, could come on, get with it. I'm talking about the little things. Well, this is good for us, amen. Not making me real popular, but it's good for us, amen. God says there's big rewards attached to faithfulness in the little duties of life. Christians, come on. Let's end with all of us. What little commandment, come on, think about this. What little assignment, what little opportunity has God given us that we've been neglecting? Come on, we're doing about a half job in our service to the Lord. Shame on us. Shame on us. You know, think about the opportunities that God could have for you. But he's looking right now at what you're doing with the little opportunities in ministry. Let's be faithful. Let me finish with this thought. Number four, God reminds us of the big truth of the little vapor. The big truth of the little vapor. What are you talking about? James 4:14. Whereas you know. Come on, you know this verse. Most of you know this. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? What a question. What is your life? What is your life? Well, here's the answer. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. A little time. There's the word little. We're talking about little verses this morning. Yep. That appeareth for a little time. Then what? Vanisheth away. Yep. Right. I mean, you know, I always say this. You can't convince anybody under 30 that life's a vapor. And you don't have to convince anybody over 30 that it is. Because by that time, you've probably figured it out. Yep. You hit that 35 mark and you realize 3 score and 10. And all of a sudden, you look in the mirror and go, how has half my life gone already? And it's going to go quick. Come on, preacher says this like a broken record, but you're going to blink once, blink twice. You know what? Those of you that have these little children, you're going to be hugging them and watching them go off to Bible college or watching them go out in life, giving those little girls away at the altar, and you're going to blink again, and you're going to be a grandpa. And it happens so quick. It happens so fast. Brother Bud came to me the other day, and he asked me a little bit of a riddle. He said, what is the most important mark on a gravestone, on a tombstone? What is the most important mark on a gravestone or a tombstone? Y'all think about that for a minute. I've heard this before, so I was able to give him the right answer because I've heard this before. The most important mark is that dash. The dash between the date of your birth and the date of your death. And folks, look how long that little dash is. You ought to go to the, it's good every once in a while to walk through a cemetery. It really is. It's a good place to go and meditate. It's a good place to go and read your Bible. It's a good place to go and contemplate life. Because everybody that's laying in that cemetery at one point was young and strong and thought they would live forever and thought they had forever. But you know what? Here's the question. What did they do with their dash? What did they do with their dash? You know what? What am I going to do with my dash? Because it goes quick. We're talking about big truths that come from verses containing the word little. You know, years ago, and I don't even like telling this story, but I think it's so impactful. It's one of those moments where God just freezes time, and I know that forever I'm going to remember this moment. But years ago, there was a man who came to this church off and on. And he came off and on for about 3 years. When I mean off and on, he'd show up maybe every month. I might be able to get him to walk in the door. He always had plans, always had this. Preacher, I'm sorry, but we're doing this weekend. We're doing this weekend. And, you know, he'd pop in and out. I probably sat in that man's living room probably a dozen times in those 3 years. And many times I sat in his living room and talked to him about the importance of faithfulness. And listen, you tell me you're born again. I believe he was. I believe the man was a Christian. He gave me a sincere testimony of his faith in Christ. But he's sitting there in his living room and he's just kind of busy with this and busy with that. And, you know, just show up every once in a while. And, you know, the world will get you busy. The world will keep you busy and a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter anything after eternity. Doesn't matter anything after eternity, you know. And so he ended up calling me one day and he said, "Preacher, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And hey, I know what it is to get that diagnosis, amen." And not back then I did, but now I do. And I went and sat in his living room to have prayer with him. And you know what? He lasted a very short amount of time. And I just watched him over the course of about 4 months go downhill so quickly. The very last time I met with him, the very last time we had a conversation before he died, he said something to me that I'll never forget. And that's one of those moments where God just freezes time and you're going to remember this forever. But he said this. He said, "Preacher, I always felt that God had something big." Are you listening? "Something big he wanted me to accomplish with my life. But I never took the time to find it." He said this, "Preacher, I guess now it's too late." And it was one of the saddest moments I've ever experienced in my life. I'm looking at this man who God gave the gift of life, an opportunity to live on this earth. He got the gospel to him and got him saved. But he let the world keep him so busy that he didn't have time for church and he didn't have time to find the most important thing, and that is the will of God, to find the will of God and do it. And he sat there now, come on, emancipated, a shell of what he was. Within a week of dying, and he looks up at me with hollowed, sunken eyes and says, "Preacher, I always felt that God had something big he wanted me to accomplish with my life, but I never took the time to find it." By the way, you know why he didn't find it? Because you're never going to find the big things that God wants you to do if you're not willing to do the little things he wants you to do. You know what? One of the little things was get in church. Be faithful to the house of God. Bring your tithes and offerings.
Yes, sir.
Come on, join the church. All right? Come and get a little job. Start with getting a little job somewhere. Okay? All of you don't need to start on the platform. Okay, ladies, why don't you start in the nursery? Start with the little things. Start by volunteering to clean the church or clean a bathroom. Come on now. The little things. And if you'll be faithful in the little things, come on, volunteer to ride one of our buses every Sunday. Volunteer to make some cookies for the bus kids. What are you talking about? I'm talking about little things. And as we do the little things in life, folks, listen to me. That dash, if God tarries, it's going to be on every single one of our tombstones one of these days. What are we going to do with this thing called life? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we contemplate these great big truths, these enormous, amazing, eternal truths. Lord, we find them in the Bible in verses containing the word little. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, that they'd be saved today. There is no bigger decision than a person can make than to be born again, to be saved. I pray that all of us as Christians, dear God, we'd take some time to invest in the little ones, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for everyone that puts some money in the plate that helps put gas in a bus, that helps get these kids to church. Lord, I pray, dear God, ask, Lord, we're going to pray, dear God, and ask for labors for the harvest. There's not a ministry in our church that don't need help, don't need people helping. I just pray, Lord, that we'd look for those little jobs, little opportunities. Help us to be faithful in the little things. I pray for children, young men, young ladies, dear God, that it's time for them to grow up. It's time for them to step up and take care of the little things at home, the little areas of obedience, the little chores. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help all of us, dear God, as we look at our lives and we listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, those little sins. I've watched little sins destroy a man. I've watched little sins destroy a marriage. I've watched little sins destroy a family. God, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to take advantage of the getting right place. And Lord, take an opportunity to spend some time at an altar. Whatever the need is, whatever you tell us to do, Lord, I pray, dear God, we would not treat this invitation as a little thing. Pray these things in Jesus' name.